Besser and News. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Key Republicans are welcoming the Supreme Court decision upholding President Trump's travel ban on visitors from mostly Muslim countries. They say it's going to help stop terrorism. And a sharply divided high court today upheld the president's ban, rejecting a challenge that it discriminates against Muslims or exceeded the president's authority for that matter. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote for the 5-4 majority. The presidents do, in fact, have substantial power to regulate immigration. He also rejected the challenger's claim of an anti-Muslim bias in the ban. Meanwhile, the high court issued a ruling that's being cheered by pro-life groups around the country. It says a California law that forces those pro-life crisis pregnancy centers to provide information about abortion violates the Constitution, and that also casts doubts on similar laws that are still on the books in Hawaii and Illinois. Strong session on Wall Street. The Dow was up 100 points. This is SRN News.
Hot and humid again today, but then a strong chance of afternoon thunderstorms. Our high today, 93 degrees. Partly cloudy this evening, with an overnight low expected to drop to about 76. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy, hot and humid, and a high tomorrow of 94 degrees.
Hey guys, it's Doug McCary from SWAT Radio. Hey, Brad and I will be ministering and spending time with our families for the next few weeks. So join us in listening to some of our listener favorites from this past year. We'll be listening to programs about sharing your faith, discipleship, and what it means to follow Jesus. We'll be back live in a few weeks, so have a great summer. And remember, whatever you do, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Noon and welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes here with my good buddy Doug McCary. Doug, we can even do this just on the fly, can't we?
On the fly, man.
Hey,
on
Cody,
the fly.
Sorry, I just spilled coffee all over the place, but so we are here, and you know, usually, well, and you know what's kind of exciting? There's a new program that comes on just before we come on at 2 o'clock. From 2 to 3, I believe, Jim and Martha.
Yeah, from 2 to 3. And
just met him in the hallway. So,
and Cody, tell everybody the name.
I work for him.
I work for him. Yeah, and see, you know, that's something we said in SWAT last week, that no matter what you do, if you're a believer, he's your employer.
That's right. Colossians 3:23. Yeah. Do your work heartily.
Yeah, do
as
it.
As unto the Lord. Anyway,
I like
met
whether
them.
You eat or drink. I like eating and drinking to the Lord too. Yeah. So,
oh, you had to go there.
I'm
didn't
sorry.
You?
Hey, it's, you know, somebody told Lori, I think it was our friend Henry from up in Georgia. He was here this past weekend, and he goes, "Man, I have to go find this Jumpin' Jack's House of Food you guys talk about." So we went there to
did
eat.
You really?
Good. We went to eat Sunday there. Best burgers in town, man.
Hey, let me tell you, they really are.
They're really good
burgers.
They are
so good. Their chicken's good, too.
It's a great family place. So we like going there.
And go tell Howdy we sent you. Maybe we'll get a free burger out of it or something.
Who knows, maybe.
Well, good to be with you guys today, Tuesday. I think spring has officially arrived. I don't know, my azaleas are blooming, and I'm loving it.
It is hot, too, isn't it?
Hot?
Oh my goodness!
I don't know about
man.
Hot.
It was hot. That sun was. You know, when you get in your car, you can tell when spring's starting to come because it just is. You feel that heat when you
don't
check
even have
in
to get in the car, Doug. You can just look at it, and if there's pollen on it, it's spring.
Yeah,
that is interesting. And Cody, you haven't been in Jacksonville long enough, but I mean, the pollen is everywhere. And I in fact finally got enough time over the weekend, Doug, to clean my garage out a little bit where I could get at least one car in. And so I've got one car covered in pollen, one is not.
Yeah.
And I drove the one that's not.
Well, hey, have you ever heard of Barry Black? Do you know who he is?
Mm-mm.
Barry Black is a retired Navy admiral who's a Senate chaplain now. And he was interviewed a couple of days ago, and he offered up an explanation for Joy Behar. You know, Joy Behar made a comment about Mike Pence. It's been in the news back and forth, people talking about it. She basically said, if you talk to Jesus, it's okay. But if he talks to you, it's a mental illness. That was her comment. And that just went across social media. Everybody's commenting on that and how it was there was a disconnect. Well, Barry Black was interviewed about this, and his explanation was that the Bible says spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And if you do not have a biblical worldview, or if you do not have an experiential relationship with a transcendent God, many times you will undervalue weapons that you use in spiritual warfare, i.e. prayer and conversation. For many today, the separation of church and state has become the separation of faith and life. We're expected to keep our relationship with Jesus to ourselves. This cultural heresy flies in the face of Jesus' call to be fishers of men and his witnesses to the end of the earth. And it can persuade us that God speaks to us only in church or only on Sunday. Nothing could be further from the truth. You know, God speaks to us and what happens to us. And, you know, I just thought that was interesting because I've heard this argument for a long time. You know, Christianity is supposed to be a private thing. It's not a private thing. It never was intended to be a private thing. It's a personal thing between you and God, but it's never supposed to be private. Somewhere along the line, we got off track a little bit with that because it flies in the face of being a fisher of men and being a witness for him. And I just thought it was interesting that he spoke to that. I'm glad he spoke to that. But, you know, if you're listening out there today, the thing that popped into my head is, you know, am I okay with people ridiculing me because I talk to Jesus and I hear him talk to me?
Well, it's going to, you know, it's what we've been discussing a little bit. It kind of weaves in nicely with our discussion about our loyalty. Because when we're loyal to someone or something, there's going to be something that tries to derail us from that loyalty. And it could be things like this. I think of Romans 1:20, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. So man is without excuse. The reality is, not only do we see God speak to us through his word, we see his hand in all creation.
Well, one of the SWAT guys sent me a new book coming out. And the name of the book is The Way Back, How Christians Blew Our Credibility and How We Get It Back. And he makes, there's two guys wrote it, Jonathan Bach and Phil Cook. And they almost called the book The Other God, they said, because if you've read it, you understand that's part of it, is that part of the solution or part of the problem is we feel like Christians in America have created their own God out of this whole idea that's very friendly. And we all, you know, and so he's talking about that. They start talking about what the problem is because of the way we've responded to changes in the culture over the past 30, 40, 50 years. We've lost our credibility. I mean, literally, when you think about the disciples and you think about what they started with, they didn't start with a big purse full of money. They didn't start with a big culture full of influence. They were a minority in their culture, even though that they were mostly Jewish. They were under Roman rule, but yet those 11 guys on a mountain impacted the world without the money, power of influence that we have today. And within 200 years, they grew so influential that they influenced a Roman, Constantine to basically adopt Christianity as the official Roman faith. And, you know, what their premise in the book is, as Christians, we need to find, they say, new ways of showing people who we are and what we believe in a way that's attractive to people, which I kind of disagree with that premise a little bit. What they're talking
this pragmatism.
It is pragmatic, but they do make a point that today's Christians lack a certain sense of joy that should accompany people filled with the Holy Spirit. That's true. Because, you know, it's like you and I were talking about the other day, the experiential element of Christianity is absent from a lot of people that profess the name Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they kind of harp on the response of boycotting companies that don't say Merry Christmas, doing online petition drives, politics, all those kind of things. And he cites one meeting in Hollywood with a studio exec who said, you know, talking about Christians, says those are the angry people. Now, you know, people could have said that about John the Baptist.
Sure.
They could have said that about Paul if mm-hmm. they would have walked in without just the right moment out of context.
Having not spent time with them.
Exactly. But you know what? When Paul talked to people, I think of his letter to the Thessalonians. It's almost like a father writing a child a letter. There was such love for these people, even the Corinthians, who were engrossed in immorality. Mm-hmm. And his letter to them had some sharp words, but it had some comforting, loving words, too. And there's this idea in our country that you cannot be balanced with truth and love. You know, that somehow or other to speak the truth is unloving. Now, and that's where I would divide the line. I would say, yes, they make a great point about the disciples in there. And I haven't read the book yet, so I don't know. I'm just basing it on this article. But, you know, we as a church have definitely not been influential in our country. We've not influenced our culture in the way the disciples did, the way people like John Monger and their culture have, and mm-hmm. other people who have been willing to be persecuted. And I think Jesus knew that. I think, you know, out of all the cultures and times in the world, isn't it interesting where Jesus picked to come to earth? He didn't pick this century.
Yeah.
When we had all this technology, mm-hmm. I mean, you think about when he chose to come mm-hmm. and where he chose to come. So he didn't come to Rome. You know, he came to Jerusalem and he was born and he walked among a people that were oppressed. And that's why the Roman or the Jewish people, the leaders were so angry, because he did not revolt.
Yeah.
And we're going to study this week in SWAT. By the way, if you want to come this week to SWAT, we're looking. If you ever struggle with your faith, you ever struggle with questions, you're not alone. John the Baptist, the greatest man, yep. according to Jesus, in the world, struggled. And that's what we're going to be looking at this week. So
I'm looking forward to it, although I may be a little late. But I will be there. You know, I was thinking about that idea of you know, being creative in how we're going to share the gospel. I mean, I think that we're surrounded in this day and age with technology. I got last week, you were talking about this movie coming out, The Apostle Paul,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, using it as an opportunity to invite people, invite neighbors. It may be an evangelism tool to be used. But I feel like we live in a time where we're always looking for a new tool, a new book, a new movie, a new church, a new pastor, you know, as opposed to being the church and loving and engaging. We were talking about this yesterday. Had we been down in South Florida in the midst of this, you know, shooting, you know, with our neighbors, or this young man who clearly is troubled, are we willing to engage in the lives of those people God has sovereignly placed us in front of? Or are we looking for a better way to do it? You know, you bring up the disciples. These weren't the most, you know, these weren't the guys you would have chosen to go take the gospel around the world.
Absolutely not. And I think for us watching as believers, and when we're speaking out to the people listening to this, we're, you know, there's an assumption that the majority are people who have made a decision to follow Christ, or who want to follow Christ because you're listening to Christian radio. Maybe you're listening and you haven't made that call. We would encourage you to follow him if that's you. But for those that are believers, you know, don't get swept up into the wrong arguments.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many political arguments you could be swept up into. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people getting swept up into this gun control thing. And I don't know if you know who Colonel David Grossman is. He's done a lot of research on and training to help people in security and stuff. And, you know, a point he made last night, I was listening to him, is Russia, Germany have some of the strictest gun control laws in the world, and they've had mass shootings over there, even underneath that. So it is not the firearm. Granted, mm-hmm. we should have some age limits. I have no problem with that. But don't get swept up into thinking we're going to solve this problem by gun control. Yeah. It's an evil problem. And we are to be as witnesses sharing the hope of Christ with people.
Amen. So. Amen. Well, we'll go down that road in a minute. You want to join us? Call us. SWAT Radio. We'll catch you after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes with Doug McCary. Cody at the wheel. Man, you've had a long day, Cody. Man, keep it going.
Long day.
Hey, one of the things, you brought this up yesterday and we were on the break there. I was just thinking about it because I know there's a march being planned in Tallahassee over what's happened down in South Florida about guns and all that. And again, anything we discuss here, even on air, is not to take away from what's happened down there.
Yeah.
I think everybody in situations like this, we're looking for an answer. Yeah. You know, and quite frankly, we're looking to put our finger on why this happened. And certainly, you know, guns are something we need to be discussing.
Yeah.
But let's not be naive and think that that's the solution.
Well, it's like John Kelly pointed out, and I said this yesterday. It's, you know, people are all slamming the NRA. They're for lobbying for gun rights and all this, and the NRA, not one person that's done a mass shooting has been a member of the NRA. The NRA kills zero people a day. They receive $0 from the taxpayer each year. Planned Parenthood kills 887 babies every day. Every day. Or one every 90 seconds. And they get $500 million from our government. Where is the protest over that? That's 887 babies a day. That's insane. And, you know, I think of Molech in the Old Testament and the sacrifices to that God. And that angered the God of all creation, that these people would throw their babies into a fire to an idol. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing. You know, it is a taking of a life. And, you know, Cody was just talking in the break. We were talking about, you know, the gun thing, and they were going, people's not going to do it in a knife. Well, last May, there was a China knife attack. A guy stabbed 18 people. And a mass stabbing, one guy with one knife.
In the right setting, it could be done.
It's just evil. and you can't explain evil away except for Satan, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And until the church comes to the point of realizing that our, you know, we will, you can't legislate morality either way, but we can share our voices. because we live in a culture, unlike the disciples in the first century, we have an ability in our government, and unlike a lot of governments, to share our voice. So we should do that. But we cannot place our faith in Congress. We can't place our faith in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or the Supreme Court or anybody. We do our duty, and we're good citizens, but we pray to the God of all creation for his mercy, and we pray for his strength to stand as believers who say, we love Jesus, we're loyal to Jesus, we care about people, we look out for the needy, and we try to care for people. And that's all we can do.
You bring up the abortion issue, and you mentioned it over the break about pornography and the devastating effects of pornography.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wonder if those people who are going to go walk and march for gun control, are they willing to march for eliminating pornography?
Eliminating
abortion?
Yeah, how many marriages and families have been destroyed? Guys have committed suicide who have been found out in ministry and other realms who have been involved with pornography, and it's just, but we tend to be okay with that because it doesn't fit the narrative. It doesn't fall in with some political narrative on either side. And so people are like, see, sex is one of those areas. That's why abortion is untouched. That's why people don't want to speak out against abortion, because
you should have the freedom.
Have the freedom to have sex with who you want to, irregardless of marriage and the consequences that might happen as a result of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so pornography is just another one of those things lumped in there. If you want to look at something in the privacy of your own home, that's the argument that people make. But as believers, I can remember one time sharing, Brad, at a retreat. It's a family retreat for couples, and telling people in that room that, husbands and wives, you have the right to ask your husband or spouse, is this an issue for you? Well, I got pretty much reprimanded for saying that because it made people uncomfortable in the room. They weren't happy with that. But that, if we're believers, we should not have secret areas of our life from our spouse. It is you are to be one with your spouse. Yep. And if you are out there looking at pornography and struggling through that, one, you're killing a part of your life apart from your spouse, and you're going to end up destroying that marriage eventually if you don't deal with it. That's why guys like Jerry Sinclair, Faithful and True, do what they do. Jerry's helped lots of people. Faithful and True Jacksonville, he's been on our program several times. He has a great ministry. You can call in toll free and talk to him about stuff like that, because we just don't want to say this is bad. We want to give you an opportunity. This is a place.
Way out.
That you can actually talk to somebody who has been able to see not one, not tens, hundreds, thousands of men, get a victory in this area. And so Jerry was is a guy who comes to our SWAT meeting on Wednesday, and I'm just telling you, I know Jerry would be happy for you to call in, and you can go to his website, 904true.org, and he has, like I said, a hotline if you want to call. And he and his wife have been doing this ministry for a long time, and it is a good way for people to get help.
Well, and Jerry, clearly, we've had him on a number of times. We both know him very well, that he would definitely confirm the fact that it is the gospel that brings about change. And I think, I think of Paul, who said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." And I think in light of what we're even looking at today, aren't we ashamed of the gospel?
Well, we're talking about loyalty from Matthew 10, but we're also today talking about family.
Mm.
And in that particular context, I'd like for you to read, not the whole section again, but just today, if you could read just 34 through 39.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, we looked at the sword conflict issue that he says our loyalty should be more valuable than our freedom from conflict. But also, he says it's more valuable than our family or even our life. And today, we're looking at that family aspect. So would you read that Matthew 10? 34 through 39.
You bet. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
Well, that's Jesus speaking. Matthew's recording Jesus' instructions to the disciples before they go out on their first trip. And he makes it pretty clear there that even your family relationships are secondary to your relationship to him. Now, Lori and I have tried to communicate that to our kids and how each other, like, you know, we tell our kids that I love Jesus more than I love your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I love Jesus more than I love your father. And we want you to know that we love Jesus more than you. And you need to know that. Now, some people think that's not something you should do, but it's pretty clear that's what he's saying right there to me, Brad.
Who gave us those children?
Exactly.
You know?
They're a gift. He formed in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
why it's a tragedy for 800 and something children to every day to be taken needlessly. Mm-hmm. And you know, but let's get back to this family issue for a second.
Well, I think it's also, Doug, important to understand that Jesus is saying, you know, listen, I came to divide. I mean, there's going to be division. And not only is there going to be division, you against your neighbor, you against, you know, people at work, but even in your own household. And this is going to create strife and problems.
Well, it absolutely will. And I think of people who have been on the mission field, people current and people past, people like Rick and Elizabeth Arnold, who are overseas. We've known them for a long time, and they've almost lost their children over there because of where God has called them. It's very hard to live in that part of the world. There's dangers from snakes. There's dangers from disease, malaria. I think they've probably all had malaria at one point, but they're there because God called them there.
Hmm.
I think about Hudson Taylor, who went to China, and he lost his children, some of his children over there, lost his wife. And, you know, he could have come back, but he did not feel the freedom for the Lord to come back in that time period. And, you know, when you hear that, you go, well, he placed his ministry above his wife. Well, you know, there are some people that would argue against that and to say, well, you can be married to your ministry. No, his wife was supportive of what he did. They were in it together, and they were there suffering together, and she lost her life due to a disease, but she wanted to stay there and wanted him to stay there. And, you know, that's a very tight line there, because you can be married to ministry. Ministry can be your mistress, where you're getting fed and being pumped up by the ministry you do to the exclusion of your family.
Sure. And we've seen that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about is a love and commitment to the Lord, to whatever he asks, what he calls you to do. Because if he wants you to do it and your wife is there with you, I mean, you can believe that he's going to speak to her as well as he's going to speak to you.
Mm.
And I saw that with Lori. I remember very clearly in the Marine Corps wanting to get and go to seminary. And she's like, no, I don't sense that. And we prayed about it. And I did not feel the overriding peace of the Lord to say, you know what, yes, to her. And so we didn't, but it was years later in the FBI that he said, I want you now to go. And Lori was like, I'm all in.
That's cool.
You know, because that's the way God works. He works through that.
Yeah. Great testimony there. Hey, you want to join us today? We'd love to hear from you. 904-401-1413. If you're outside Jacksonville, 1-844-777-7928. You can check us out at SWATradio.com. If you have a question, send that to ask@SWATradio.com. We'll answer it right here on air.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A divided Supreme Court has upheld President Trump's ban on travel from several mostly Muslim countries. The president says the ban is all about keeping Americans safe.
At a minimum, we have to make sure that we vet people coming into the country. We know who's coming in. We know where they're coming from. We just have to know who's coming here.
Also today, the High Court ruled 5-4 that a California law violates the Constitution when it forces pro-life crisis pregnancy centers to inform their clients about abortion options. Matt Staver is with the Liberty Council.
It's a clear violation of the First Amendment. This is a great decision. It affects not just the crisis pregnancy centers in California, but also around the country.
And the ruling now cast doubt on similar laws on the books in Hawaii and Illinois. Some senators are pressing the Secretary of Health and Human Services to answer questions about reuniting migrant children with their parents after they crossed the border illegally. Correspondent Linda Kenyon.
Democrats Ron Wyden and Debbie Stabenow were displeased.
How many parents were actually told where their kids are?
This is on your watch, and we will hold you accountable.
But Secretary Alex Azar says Congress must be accountable, too.
I cannot reunite them, though, while the parents are in custody because of the court order that doesn't allow the kids to be with their parents for more than 20 days. I find it hard to imagine, but we need Congress to fix that.
Secretary Azar also says his department still has custody of more than 2,000 migrant children who were separated from their parents. Linda Kenyon, Capitol Hill.
Asian markets mostly lower as moves by the U.S. to gain an upper hand on trade with China weighed on the technology sector.
The retaliation by Europe and threats that will escalate the trade war even further certainly left the market with a lot of jitters.
That's economist Diane Swonk. That was the Asian markets, where tech stocks have also been a pillar of Wall Street's long-running bull market. However, today Wall Street is doing better than Asian stocks, the Dow up 115. This is SRN News.
It's a slow commute southbound on I-95 right now because of three separate accidents. One, 95 southbound, the ramp from Emerson Street. Another one on I-95 southbound before Butler. That's off to the side. And another accident, I-95 southbound at Emerson Street. A severe thunderstorm warning in effect till 4 this afternoon for parts of St. John's, Clay, and Duval counties. These storms could include heavy rainfall and some hail.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, Doug McCary, and we are in Matthew chapter 10. We're looking specifically at verses 34 through 39, where Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace to the earth. I came to bring but a sword. I mean, that's not a popular idea.
No, he came to be. He said, I did not come to just free you from conflict. I came... You know, you're going to be set in the midst of conflict. And we're going to see this week in SWAT at the Bible studies how that was a little bit confusing for a guy like John the Baptist and how it might even be confusing for us. But this issue of family, I kind of want to get back into it because I want you to think about, let's say you were at a church in Vietnam. You're over in Vietnam and, you know, the authorities come in. And what they do is they tell you, listen, you know what? There's no more meeting in this church, the house church that they were meeting in. You all have to meet together or you don't meet at all. No more Sunday school. No more coming to have any kind of Christian teaching. And what would you do? Hmm. You know, and they said, we're going to take you, but not your family. We're just going to take the heads of the families, the men, out of their families. We're going to take you and put you in prison. What would you do? Would you stop? Would you stop meeting with other believers? Would you stop being a witness for Jesus Christ? Would you stop? Let's say you were teaching. Would you stop teaching?
Hmm.
Think about that for a second, because that really happened a couple of years ago in Vietnam, and they took 102 pastors of these house churches, which is like some of them were like Bible study leaders.
Sure, exactly.
And some of them served 15 years in prison already, and they seized their lands, and they said that if they do not stop meeting, they were going to poison them in the prison, and they were talking about that. But what would you do? I mean, when you think about that, that kind of gets to what he's talking about a little bit here, in that would you value your family more? But you go, but wait a minute, I got to take care of my family, mm-hmm. right? I gotta go and be a guy who provides, because isn't that my primary responsibility? Think about it. I mean, what do you think, Brad?
I think that's, this, especially for us in the West, you know, we put such an emphasis on, and by the way, I'm guilty of this myself, you know, the pressures and the influences that surround me to do a job, to provide, to pay the mortgage, whatever that is, many times it is above my loyalty to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you think about these guys you're talking about in Vietnam, you know, just leading a small church, a small group of followers, and to be told, if you keep doing that, we're going to throw you in prison.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us would just stop doing that?
You know? Well, I don't know if you remember there. I don't want to say his name. We've had a guest on here that has told me a story about becoming a Christian. And when he went home and told his dad, he said, don't mm-hmm. bring that Jesus stuff into my house. But he didn't say it in such a nice way. And I know people that have gone from a pagan family and had one child has had an experience and said that their parents wouldn't have anything to do with them because they were Jesus followers now. They wouldn't talk to them on the phone. You would think that they might be happy. They're not into drugs. They're not into other mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we're talking about teenage kids, but no. And that's kind of because of the sword, the conflict that it brings. And that's kind of what Jesus was talking about here. I mean, when you are talking about the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, it makes people very uncomfortable. Do you know who John Bunyan is? Mm-hmm. You know, wrote Pilgrim's sure. Progress. That's a great book. I remember mm-hmm. Spurgeon, they said, you remember he said when he was buried, he had a copy of that that he carried around in his back pocket with him everywhere. Well, John Bunyan was told to stop preaching, kind of like these people in Vietnam. And he said, I can't quit because God's called me to preach. And they said, if you preach, we'll put you in prison. And he thought about, if I preach and go to prison, what about my family? But then again, the overriding thought was, how can I close my mouth when God called me to preach?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, just to piggyback on what you're saying, I think we tend to, I'm sure there are others out there who say the same thing. Well, listen, if I get thrown in prison for doing this, or I lose my job because I spoke up about something, who's going to provide for my family? I mean,
that's exactly what Bunyan said.
As if to say, God's not in charge at this point. I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I think that's the pill I have to swallow every once in a while, is I have to be reminded. Listen, even we started off the broadcast talking about Colossians 3:23. We work hard for the Lord, not for man.
He's our provider.
Because it's the Lord who brings the increase.
Well, and so Bunyan committed his family to the Lord. and to the care of the Lord, and he was obedient. And what happens? He gets thrown in prison. And when he was in prison, because of his faithful obedience to the Lord, Pilgrim's Progress has been used by God to help a lot of people grow in their understanding of the Christian life. So, and one of the greatest preachers that we know about, Charles Spurgeon, was heavily influenced by Pilgrim's Progress.
Think of the thousands who have been influenced, just preachers who have been influenced by Spurgeon.
Oh, absolutely. But think about if Bunyan had not been obedient. But listen to what he says about his family. Parting with my wife and my poor children has often been to me in the place as the pulling of the flesh from my bones. And that not only because I'm somewhat too fond of these great mercies, but also because I should have brought to my mind the many hardships, miseries, and wants that my poor family was likely to meet should I be taken from them, especially my poor blind child who lay near my heart than all I have besides. Oh, the thought of the hardship. I thought my blind one might go under, would break my heart to pieces. This is not a guy who just willy-nilly decided to do this or who just superficially decided to do this.
But it was easy.
Yeah. But he says, but yet recalling myself, thought I must venture all with God. Even though it goes to the quick to leave you, oh, I saw in this condition, I was a man who was pulling down his house upon the head of his wife and children, yet thought I must do it. I must do it. I mean, listen, that is something that none of us should ever have to go through. I would wish it upon nobody. But look at how God used it. Now, when Jesus quoted this passage in Matthew, a lot of people may not be aware. He's quoting from Micah chapter 7, verse 6. And here's what he says. He says, for the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. But as for me, well, let me stop. As he says, a man's enemies are the men of his own house. That's a direct quote. Mm-hmm. All those things Jesus quoted. Now, one of the teaching tools of a rabbi in the Jewish culture was to quote part of a verse with the letting the student finish the verse. Mm. You know, like we said this last week, like a bird in the hand is worth
two in a bush.
Yeah. So if I said the first part, you would say the second part. Well, for them, because they were so biblically literate, they would go back there, and this is the second part. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. In other words, what he's telling the disciples is, I'm going to bring conflict, and it's going to cost even your family. It could, but you can trust me. Because isn't that what you were saying earlier, that it's just about us having to go back to that point of, like Bunyan saying, oh, it feels like the flesh. Those pastors in prison in Vietnam, do you think it did not gnaw at their hearts that their family was out there and that they were in prison? I mean, that had to be difficult.
Well, I think about Bunyan talking about his blind daughter. You know, I think about you and your five girls, you know, if you were to be thrown in prison, painful, incredibly painful. I think, Doug, we're very short-sighted. We're very nearsighted. We limit what we believe God is actually going to do in that situation. Yeah, you know, I think of Jim Elliot, you know, at a very young age, you know, who departed this earth doing the work of the ministry. Mm-hmm. Yet look at the impact beyond his death.
Oh, my.
On literally, possibly millions of people.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, I guess my point is, if you look at that in a short-sighted view, Jim Elliot never flies into that area. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Jim Elliot, I think, before he ever went down there, had already kind of made that decision. It's kind of like
whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. In other words, I think what you're getting at is Jim Elliot had already made a decision. I am dead. It's like you said, you know, in Rome, if you saw a man with a crossbeam on his back, he's a dead man. We don't want to do that, Doug.
Well, no. Well, no, we don't want to jump on that train, that's for sure. But you don't. Here's the thing. When have you heard about that even being preached?
Mm-mm.
It's very, very scary. And the thing is that we have these two quotes. I mean, not two quotes. I'm sorry. My mind's scrambling to think. We have these two extremes.
Mm-hmm.
We have the disintegration of family and culture, and then in the Christian culture, we have the idolization of family over Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's got to be this balance somewhere that we come down on, and you know, I don't know. Maybe you can. We can, when we come back, we can talk about it a little bit more. There's got to be somewhere, because I think we've got to come more centered and Christ-centered in that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about it. Hey, if you want to join us, call us 904-401-1413 or 1-844-777-7928. You can send us questions to ask@swatradio.com and we'll address them, and we'll jump back in when we come back from the break.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on the truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors. They offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, Doug McCary. Doug, this is a... we could probably spend a little time right here, couldn't we? I mean, talking about this, not just loyalty, but is he more important than family?
Well, think about this. All right. Let's just think for a second. Some of the most popular Christian radio shows in the country are about family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually family-oriented self-help books are some of the top bestsellers in the Christian realm. If you go in now, you can't even hardly find theological books anymore because they don't sell. Those people, think about when you look for a new church, if you're moving to a new area, what is the one thing that you're really looking for? You want a church that ministers to family.
Or to me.
Yeah, family is a top priority.
Absolutely.
Like, instead of going to a place that's about making disciples and committed to discipleship and evangelism, the driving thing is, you know... in fact, churches, their whole marketing today is toward family, the children's program, when you think about that. Now, there's two ways you can view what Jesus said here. Again, we were talking about balance. You can look at this like what, you know, Jesus, there's several verses in here that we were talking about in the New Testament where Jesus says, if you don't hate your own family, you know, in Matthew 12, he says, who's my mother? Who's my brothers? And, you know, he says, these are my mothers and brothers. In Luke 14, he says, if anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his father and mother. And he's talking about a love there for them. Like here, he came to set a man against his father and mother. He's not wanting us to hate our family. That's not what he's saying. But what he's saying is in relation to him, everything's secondary. And so when we think about it, we can think, you know, we don't love our family at all. We completely ignore them. I'm sure those Vietnamese pastors did not think about their family while they were in prison. They waited like John Bunyan did.
Right.
But the call of God was greater in their life at that point to do that. And then the other place you can go is your family is your highest commitment, which is unfortunately true of a lot of people in the church in our country. And Jesus is really not telling people to do either of those. He's saying, I want you to love me most. Your loyalty, big L, has to be to me. But he also commands us in Scripture to honor our parents. He calls us to love our children, to not provoke them. He gives us instruction about how we are to relate. And the family model is important. You see it throughout Scripture. And we've perverted it in our culture, and not just here, also in other cultures. They in Europe, you know, they've perverted that family model, the biblical model of family. And so I think in an effort to defend against that, we've idolized it. And that's not the answer either. Mm-hmm. We should always hold Jesus up first. So I just wanted to comment to that as we
I think we need a constant reminder. This is my whole passion of being renewed in the Word. I mean, our minds about got to be renewed. Listen, I'm all for great preaching and great radio broadcast and all that, but to continually, daily renew your mind in truth, we're reminded. I mean, I think of 1 Chronicles 29, everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord. This is your kingdom. Mm-hmm. We adore you as being in control of everything. Riches and honor come from you alone, and you're the ruler of all mankind. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to say, "And every your hand controls power and might, and it is at your discretion that men are made great, given strength." The idea is that Christ is first. God is first. He provides the family. He provided me my wife. He provided me my children. He provided me my job. He provided me my community and my home and all these things, and yet we've put these created things above the Creator.
Well, and here's the thing. I love the way this one guy says it. He says that, you know, you can have different intensities of your love. I mean, like, you know, I don't know what you love, Brad, but if you, let's say you love the beach.
Mm-hmm.
When you say, I love the beach, and then you say, you know, I love my mom, those two things are different, right? Those are different. In the same way, when you say, I love Jesus, and you say, I love my wife or I love my children, that should be just as different.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Sure, sure.
I mean, you can't love Jesus with the same affection that you love your wife or your children. It's different.
And the other
Does that
thing,
make sense?
Oh, completely. I mean, completely. But also, Doug, I think we in our generation, our culture, even kind of how we started off the broadcast talking about, Joy Behar's comments about Pence, whatever. You know, we live in this soundbite generation where we just throw these nuggets out, you know, of things that aren't fully true. You know, and I think about the fact that how do you know I love Christ?
Only way that I can know that you do is by watching your witness and being around you.
How would you know I love my wife? I mean, you know, my wife doesn't care what I say. She cares what I do. Mm. I can tell her I love her all day, but if I don't live in such a way that it's evidenced, and, you know, it's what we experience when we passionately pursue Christ, is people who look at sound bites of our life may want to ridicule what we say, but if they walked with us and lived with us, it might be a different story.
Well, this may be challenging for some people. I mean, it may be challenging for a lot of people, but when you think about the filter Jesus used to describe his family, it was those who do the will of his Father in heaven. It was not his biological family. Now, at the end of his life, when he's on the cross, he looked at his mother, he said, "Mother, behold your son," referring to John, right, the apostle.
Who wasn't really his son. Her son.
But he was saying, "I want him to take care of you." Now, here's what's interesting. He also had a brother named James.
Right.
I mean, I'm a half-brother named James. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Jesus, mm-hmm, not James, the brother of John.
Right.
I'm talking about James, the brother of Jesus. And it's always struck me that his brother was not a believer at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he did not go to his biological half-brother and say, "Take care of mom." He went to John, the apostle, and said, "Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." And I think that speaks volumes to this issue for people, that we as believers, listen, you don't disregard your biological family, but the filter that we should use should be the same one Jesus used, as far as the supreme affection that we have. When Jesus was doing the ministry, his family was coming in and say, "You're crazy. Listen, there are people in your family who may think you are absolutely out of your mind for doing what God wants you to do. And you've got to not allow that to happen." Hey, I've been going. We were going, and I'm going back and forth with you. And we got a caller on the line.
Oh, do it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
John, are you still there? John?
Doug, I'm still here.
Yes, sorry, you were in Never Land out there.
We had to get some oxygen real quick.
Sorry, we got going on this family thing. So, welcome to SWAT Radio, John.
And, John, you got about 2 minutes, buddy.
That's all right.
Okay. All right. So thanks for the time. I find, as Doug, I always do, I find that the topic of how do we, to love God, to love Jesus first, and then what I think about, what you challenge us to think about is what does that look like in, rubber meets the road, mm-hmm, day in, day out sense. What does that look like? What I keep coming back to is it looks like dying to self. It looks like, putting others first, your wife, your kids, not in an idle fashion at all, because they can become idols, as you guys talked about. But I would be curious to hear what your thoughts are. What does, and challenging you and challenging the listeners, what does that look like?
To love God first, you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's exactly, one of the things that, thank you, by the way, John, for calling. Thanks for listening. And thanks for the question. Brad, you want to speak to it first? We got about a minute and a half.
Well,
here.
I think this is the greatest challenge we face in our society as followers of Christ, is to recognize who is supreme. Those things we love. Listen, I love my family like you can't even imagine. I love my wife after 32 years. I mean, I need to be reminded who gave her to me in the first place. And I think it's an issue of priority. What is preeminent? I taught on that not too long ago about the preeminence of Christ. If he is preeminent, it doesn't mean we don't love our wives and love our family and love our children and love our neighbors and love our job and love all these other things. As you said, I love the beach different than I love my mother.
Mm-hmm.
They're just different levels. But ultimately, when the rubber meets the road, as John said, how does that impact the way you live life?
I think anytime practically when we look to our image of our family for significance, or the success of our family for significance, our children become the source of our joy.
You didn't have to go there, did you?
I mean, it doesn't mean you can't experience joy in mm-hmm. them, but ultimately, Jesus has to be the source of our significance and our joy. And here's the idol test. When Abraham took Isaac up on the hill, He gave his only son up.
Yeah.
I mean, if your family keeps you from obeying God, then it's probably become an idol. That's the test.
Let me steal from John Piper. Yeah. God is most glorified when we're most satisfied in him.
Yep.
So let's find it there.
And when we come back tomorrow, we're going to jump back in here.
If you missed a SWAT radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com.